Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, in case you hadn't been paying attention today, Chief Justice John Roberts of the U.S. Supreme Court is absolutely a nightmare, a massive disappointment, just a nightmare. And thank you, George W. Bush, 43, for nominating him and for everybody that kind of bought into the notion that this guy is or was a conservative. Now you've got Justice John Roberts is now basically Justice Kennedy. He's the swing vote. You got four one way to the left. You got four one way to the right. And in between, at the fulcrum, drunk on his power and his ability to affect all kinds of aspects of American life, is John Roberts. And it is absolutely pathetic and disgusting to watch this. It's one thing after another with him. And so I'm going to spend some time on that and unpacking a couple stories here that go over this ruling, a 5-4 ruling. That was a blow to the abortion movement as we continue to try to move forward. But just a little reminder, and a pastor friend of mine did this on Facebook earlier today, was a reminder that, hey, if we're all sitting around, all us pro-life people sitting around thinking, if we could just get the right justices in, and we got Kavanaugh, we got Gorsuch, and now all of a sudden it looks like we're going to get this done and we're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. But you don't do anything else. You're wishful thinking, you go out and vote, you're a one-issue voter like I am, like my wife is, and that's great. But that's just not enough for us to sit around as the church and think having the right people on the Supreme Court is going to get it done one day. We're buying into, unfortunately, what's happened in the United States of America is we've shredded yet another part of the U.S. Constitution. The fact that the Supreme Court of the United States is this important and this powerful and this monumental to the present and future of this country is not what it was meant to be at all. Pretty much advise and consent. That was the deal. Get originalists on there, men and women that understand the Constitution, look at the laws that get challenged and go, is this in line with our U.S. Constitution as written, as stated, or is it not? And then that's it. It's just a ruling. That's all. They don't create laws, at least they used to not create laws, but they do now. Why do you think we have gay marriage? By the way, go show me anybody. Go into the bowels of the U.S. Congress and show me the statute, show me the law that was written, proposed, debated, passed in one house, gone to the other house, the Senate or vice versa, and then went to the president's desk for a signature. Somebody show me that law. It's kind of like here in North Carolina and many other states around the country. Show me the law that Governor Cooper passed that makes it illegal for me to choose not to wear a mask out in public. Show me the law, because there isn't one. And that used to matter in this country, but it doesn't anymore. So now we have a U.S. Supreme Court that we fight like cats and dogs over every nomination now, because unfortunately, it's just completely out of whack. Okay, it's completely out of whack, and that's something that's just a shame. But now you got to, as my dad used to say, you got to dance with the date that brung you, right? You got to dance with the one that brung you, and that's the deal. The U.S. Supreme Court has massive implications, and so we have to stay in that game. But for us as Christians, if that's all you're doing in the pro-life movement, you say you're pro-life, you vote pro-life, and then you hope we get the right justices. That's not – you know what would change the abortion issue overnight in this country? Is that the pro-life crowd – started to show up in mass and consistently like the Black Lives Matter crowd. That would make a difference, but we don't. So I'll just leave that there. This is from Fox News. You can find this story anywhere, so don't think I'm leaning to the right just because I'm using Fox. The Supreme Court on Monday ruled that a Louisiana law requiring that individuals who perform abortions at clinics have admitting privileges in a nearby hospital is unconstitutional as it places an undue burden on women seeking abortions. That is not an undue burden on a woman. That is a burden on the abortion clinic, who, by the way, does botch abortions. There are botched abortions. You can see my buddy Troy Newman at Operation Rescue. They've got people out there, moles all over the country, and they're taking video and putting pictures up of the abortion clinics where abortions are botched and women sometimes die. So that's just a ridiculous statement right out of the get-go. The court ruled 5-4 in the case, with Chief Justice John Roberts once again casting a deciding vote by siding with the court's liberal justices. The opinion, written by Justice Stephen Breyer, noted that the Louisiana law is almost word for word identical. Now, let's stay with this, and I'm going to come back to it on the other side of the break because I want to make sure you understand what's going on here. The opinion, written by Justice Stephen Breyer, noted that the Louisiana law is almost word for word identical to a Texas law the court ruled was unconstitutional in 2016's Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstadt. A district court had rejected the Louisiana law because of that precedent, but a court of appeals ruled otherwise. Breyer noted that the district court found that the law offers no significant health benefit, quote unquote, and that, quote, conditions on admitting privileges common to hospitals throughout the state have made and will continue to make it impossible for abortion providers to obtain conforming privileges for reasons that had nothing to do with the state's asserted interest in promoting women's health and safety. I love that one. Women's health and safety, which, by the way, women's health would include emotional health, physical health, mental health, and go do some work on the post-abortive life of a woman, okay? And tell me if that's not hurting her health. And then safety, which I just mentioned, they have people regularly that get injured and some die as a result of getting an abortion. This case is similar to, nearly identical with, Whole Woman's Health, Breyer wrote, and the law must consequently reach a similar conclusion. Now listen, this is where it gets interesting and even more frustrating. Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts, had dissented in the 2016 case and said in a concurring opinion that while he still believes that that past case was wrongly decided, he was ruling with the majority in the present case due to court precedent. In other words, that last one we got wrong, but because we got it wrong, that's now court precedent, so now I have to go with it even though I know it's wrong. Right? Do you understand that? What I wonder if Chief Justice John Roberts would have had the same logic after the Dred Scott case. Well, I disagreed with the Dred Scott ruling when we did it, but now that we did it, I'm going to go along with the next one that keeps a slave in slavery even when he goes north into a free area. How about that? More there when we come back and...
So what are we waiting for?
John Roberts, Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, a massive disappointment, has become a nightmare. Many people, and Rush Limbaugh, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, by the way. If you want to join us here in the studio, just me this week, braving it on my own. My new production assistant intern is out of town this week. And so I am on my own. But I used to do this on my own, so it should be fine. We'll survive. And then I put out an email earlier today. I mentioned it on Friday about having to move to a new studio. So we did find a new location. Praise the Lord, it wasn't nearly as expensive as everything else. I haven't looked at any kind of commercial like leasing because I haven't had to lease a studio before. But all of a sudden, some things changed. And so now we have to make the move by the end of July. And so if you are blessed by this ministry and blessed by this radio show, challenged, it affects you in a positive way, I would humbly ask you to consider helping us out. It's going to cost about $10,000 to pull this change off. Well, I wanted to do it, but I wasn't expecting to do it, especially not this year, as things have been challenging for a lot of ministries and people in general with unemployment and just concerns about where we're going as a nation economically. But this is the boat we're in, and we have to switch, and so we're going to. But if you would be so kind to consider that, if you could help us out, if you just go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com, thestevenoble, N-O-B-L-E, show.com, and there's a donate button up there. We are tax deductible, of a 501c3, just like your church. And so those are tax deductible donations. and would appreciate any bit. Some of you can do just a little. Some of you can do more. But it's going to cost us about $10,000 to pull this off, and we need to get it done by the end of July. So just go to the website. I'll put a link up on Facebook Live when I get a sec. Or you can just go to thestevenobleshow.com right there and help us out that way. I'll keep talking about that until we hit the goal. Am I nervous? Yeah, I always get nervous about this kind of stuff. It's going to be a tough year fundraising in general. But God has always provided. He always has provided. And so I have to, my wife too, we just have to rest on that and go, okay, God provides. Who he provides through, how he provides, I don't know. Our job is faithfulness. His job is fruitfulness. Seriously, if you would consider that, I would humbly request you help us out with that. That would be a huge blessing because we have to do it. We don't have a choice. And we don't have the money just sitting there right now. Anyway, let's keep going. Back to this horrific decision, another one with John Roberts leading the charge. And I think Rush Limbaugh was talking about it earlier today. Does John Roberts hate Trump? Maybe he does. But who cares? That shouldn't affect it. That's not your job. Your job isn't to go in there with a personal agenda. Some people say, Rush said this as well. Hey, maybe the Democrats have something on him. And so John Roberts, when it comes to these types of cases that are in the sweet spot for the liberals, he's like, I'm going to follow the other four. But, you know, you probably can't prove that. I think it's his pride. Now that he's the swing vote, he's the new Justice Kennedy. And an entire, I mean, just think of that. He's the one guy. So in his mind and through his pride with Obergefell back in 2014, thinking he's righting this terrible wrong that same-sex couples should be able to get married. And now forever, I am the guy, Chief Justice John Roberts, who enshrined that right for people who just want to love each other. And I could totally see that. Totally see that, unfortunately. This case is, the ruling was met with fierce criticism from conservatives, as you might think. In dissent, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote, "Today, a majority of the court perpetuates its ill-founded abortion jurisprudence by enjoining a perfectly legitimate state law and doing so without jurisdiction." A minor issue. Jurisdiction. Thomas claimed that those performing abortions do not have standing to challenge laws on the basis that they restrict the ability to get an abortion because it's not their rights that are at issue, but the potential patients. Thomas went on flatly to state that abortion precedents are grievously wrong and should be overruled. Gorsuch and Kavanaugh both opposed Monday's decision, but with Roberts siding with the liberal justices, they had no effect on the outcome. After the court's decision was handed down, Chuck Schumer, tweeted an observation about how the court has been ruling as of late. "The Supreme Court's entering Buffalo Springfield territory," he said. "There's something happening here," he wrote. Exactly right. The court recently ruled in a 5-4 decision penned by Roberts that President Trump's reversal of former President Barack Obama's DACA order that shields immigrants who came to the country illegally as children was in violation of the Administrative Protective Act, which sets out rulemaking procedures for federal agencies. And by the way, the president has every right to deal with immigration issues, okay? It was Roberts who, by siding with the liberal wing and reinterpreting an individual mandate as a tax, allowed Obamacare to be found constitutional in 2012. Last year, he joined with the wing again in shutting down Trump's efforts to add citizenship question to the census. Yeah, I mean, why would we ask that question? A citizenship question in the census. Why do we need to know who's here illegally? Thomas, in another article, Thomas tears into abortion precedent. Listen to this. There's some great stuff here. He's right on the money. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas filed a blistering opinion dissenting from a Monday decision to strike down a Louisiana law that required abortion doctors to obtain admitting privileges at a nearby hospital, which, by the way, the effect would be they'd have to up their game. They'd have to be able to qualify for admitting privileges at a local hospital. And as the butcher that most of them are, God help them. They'd have to straighten up and fly right. They'd have to improve the conditions at their clinics, at these mills. The pitch dissent made clear that Thomas is ready to tear down the court's protections for abortion completely. In his most explicit comments yet, the precedents all the way back to Roe versus Wade should fall. Quote, "The plurality and," Chief Justice John Roberts, "ultimately cast aside this jurisdictional barrier to conclude that Louisiana's law is unconstitutional under our precedents," Justice Clarence Thomas wrote. "But those decisions created the right to abortion out of whole cloth without a shred of support from the Constitution's text. Our abortion precedents are grievously wrong and should be overruled." And that's what I was saying earlier. That's what Thomas understands that. We understand that from Dred Scott and other decisions of the United States Supreme Court that needed to be changed. That just because you got it right, you don't need to ride that. You don't need to ride that Titanic to the bottom of the ocean. So Justice Roberts, who dissented last time, disagreed with the liberal opinion of the court last time, a couple years ago, Justice Roberts was like, "Yeah, they should have a relationship with a local hospital, these abortion clinics." So he disagreed with the liberal court's decision. But now his reasoning today is, today was, well, they already made the decision. It's a bad decision. I don't agree with the decision. But since they made it, now I got to go with it. Is that what he would have said with Dred Scott? I think not. Back to Justice Clarence Thomas. He added lower in the opinion, the plurality and Roberts claim that the court's judgment is dictated by our precedents, particularly whole woman's health. For the detailed reasons explained by Alito, this is not true. But today's decision is wrong for a far simpler reason. Listen to this. The Constitution does not constrain the state's ability to regulate or even prohibit abortion. This court created the right to abortion based on an amorphous, unwritten right to privacy, which it grounded in the legal fiction of substantive due process. Thomas further called Roe v. Wade farcical, and the Supreme Court's abortion jurisprudence remains in a state of utter entropy. And he said the court, quote, can reconcile neither Roe nor its progeny with the text of our Constitution, so those decisions should be overruled. Okay? So just like Dred Scott, they got it wrong. So you have to correct it. Roe versus Wade in 73, when they came up with an arbitrary three trimesters, they couldn't look inside. They didn't know what's going on there. So the whole argument, that's just tissue. You could buy that in 73, but only today if you're a total, absolute science denier. Roberts is just weak and enamored with his new position as the Justice Kennedy of the current Supreme Court. God help us all. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. A few more stories I wanted to go over here, some other things that we're just paying. I'm trying to watch all the news and everything that's happening from a 30,000 foot perspective, from a biblical perspective. I'm trying not to. You should not. None of us should be selling our peace down the river over what we're seeing happening in the news, whether it's the Supreme Court decisions, things going on with Trump, with Congress, Black Lives Matter, the protests, the looting, the violence, the Chaz chop zones, the autonomous zones, the pulling down of monuments, both Confederate and non-Confederate, the COVID-19 situation, the mandatory mask law in air quotes. Believe me, I'm with you. I am frustrated. I am angry. I am incensed. I am disgusted. And oftentimes I just rest down into that. Instead of going, hold on a second, Steve, what else do I have going on in my life? Oh, yeah, that's right. The gospel of Jesus Christ, my salvation, the fruit of the Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, heaven, my future is secure, all these things. I know the truth. The truth set me free. But we walk around and act like none of that stuff's true sometimes. I mean, at least I do. So I really struggle with that. So as I talk through some of these stories, and then we'll talk to David Fisher in the fourth segment, because there's always crazy things going on in the financial world, and we want to talk about those, what's going on with the markets, the rallies, the ups and downs, quantitative easing as the government just continues to print and pump more money into the system. It's such a house of cards. And the whole thing can't sustain itself, and eventually, you know, it's going to be set up nicely for when Jesus comes back, tribulation, all that kind of stuff. So just remember that, okay? This is where I'm coming at this. So here's Fauci. Coronavirus vaccine unlikely to achieve herd immunity because of you anti-vaxxers out there. Dr. Anthony Fauci, this is in the Daily Wire, director of the National Institute of Allergy, blah, 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 is warning that creating an effective coronavirus vaccine may not be enough to achieve herd immunity against the virus. By the way, we achieve herd immunity without a vaccine. I don't even know why he's saying that. Fauci sat for an interview with CNN's Elizabeth Cohen, streamed at the Aspen Ideas Festival on Sunday night. Quote, there is a general anti-science, this is so condescending, anti-science, anti-authority, anti-vaccine feeling among some people in this country, an alarmingly large percentage of people, relatively speaking, Fauci said. The United States is on track to have 100 million doses of a viable vaccine by the end of the year, as long as the candidate can pass the clinical trials it is currently going through. Fauci has complained in recent weeks of American skepticism about experts and authority. This is just what an authoritative tyrant says, that kind of stuff. On a June 17th episode of the Department of Health and Human Services podcast, Learning Curve, he said that some people's unwillingness to heed the advice of himself and others is inexplicable. Thus says Pope Fauci. Quote, one of the problems we face in the United States is that, unfortunately, there's the condescension again. There's a combination of an anti-science bias that people are, for reasons that are sometimes inconceivable and not understandable, they just don't believe science, and they don't believe authority. When they see someone up in the White House, which is an air of authority to it, who is talking about science, there are some people who just don't believe that, and that's unfortunate. So he's, we won't achieve herd immunity because of all you anti-vaxxer, anti-authority, homeschooling, Christian, Bible-thumping, gun-owning types, essentially. So that's Fauci, who's been in the system up there for about, I don't know, 50 years. Or he's been in five different administrations. Okay, so that's Fauci just completely talking down to any of you or us that are anti-vax, anti-authority, and don't just trust them whole cloth. Yeah, if you trust the government, Trump or anybody else, if you trust Fauci and Birx whole cloth, see me after class. Now, this is kind of scary. Check this one out. Protesters set, this is like the French Revolution. This is where I think we're going. Because we can talk about Black Lives Matter and all this stuff. Underneath all of that is the economy, the economic system, the haves, the have-nots, and the divides getting bigger and deeper. Okay? So underneath all of that, in the world, is economy, money, possessions, net worth, all that kind of stuff. Which the bourgeois and the proletariat, to go back and use Marxist terminology. The rich people and the workers, essentially, okay? So listen to this. This is crazy. This just happened. Protesters have set up a guillotine, mock guillotine, outside a Washington, D.C. complex where Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos purportedly resides. Several videos circulated on social media showing what resembled the apparatus known for beheading executions during the French Revolution in a residential area of the nation's capital. A sign read, "Support our poor communities, not our wealthy men." One video showed a female protester in D.C. with her face covered call out over a megaphone, "When they become threatened and we have no choice, the knives come out." That's just the French Revolution 101. Or one of the more recent Batman movies when Bane takes over Gotham City, i.e. New York. And then they just start throwing the rich people out in the street because people that don't have want what people that have. They covet. They're not satisfied. They're not content. I'm not saying there aren't inequalities and injustice. Of course there is. But that'll just drive people crazy. And then out of their resentment and their covetousness, they'll just kill people. You think that's not possible? Take a look around at what we see happening. Innocent people that get caught up in these protests and all of a sudden the protest goes south. You're just driving your car. And the next thing you know, people are bashing in your windows. I mean, it's crazy. A digital flyer circulated online titled, "Abolish the Present, Reconstruct Our Future." Named Bezos' D.C. complex and advertising event there Sunday evening from 4 to 8 p.m. Amazon works directly with police to surveil us, stoking racist fears in the name of profit. Doubling down on their union-busting and mistreatment of workers, Amazon fired and racially slandered labor organizer Chris Smalls. Join us to tell Jeff Bezos enough is enough. End the abuse and profiteering. Abolish the police, the prisons, and Amazon, it concludes. Wow. And Bezos and Amazon, by the way, came out like full bore for Black Lives Matter. He said he was happy to lose customers who did not support Black Lives Matter or Amazon's position on it. In the days following Floyd's death, the company posted a note saying, in part, "We believe Black Lives Matter. We stand in solidarity with our black employees, customers, and partners, and are committed to helping build a country in a world where everyone can live with dignity and free from fear." Okay, I'm with you there. But that's not enough, Jeff, because you're rich. And people that don't have a lot or just have a little bit have for thousands of years had it in for people that have a lot. And people that have a lot for thousands of years have largely discounted or dehumanized or haven't paid any attention or haven't been generous towards those that have very little. This is not a new problem. New news is just old news happening to new people. Solomon was right. There's nothing new under the sun. You got to remember that. Then there's this. The UN says the world cannot return to previous normal after coronavirus. This is just somebody asked me the other day. One of our sidewalk counselors down at the abortion clinic asked on Saturday, Steve, I just have, like, in my bones feel like Jesus is coming back soon. Do you feel that way? And I'm like, I feel it more now than I ever have. And I'm very cynical, which is sometimes a faith issue for me. And I'm like, I don't know. But this is so bizarre. There's so much darkness. There's so much confusion that this stuff just starts smelling more and more like every prophetic thing we see in the New Testament and the book of Revelation. The United Nations Deputy Secretary General told an international forum Friday that society cannot return to the previous normal as he laid out socioeconomic responses amid the coronavirus pandemic. We must keep in sight the gravity of the situation. A return to normality in some regions must not lull us into a false sense of security. Mohammed said that for many countries. This is Amina Mohammed, Deputy Secretary General of the UN. The worst of the pandemic has yet to come, and the International Labor Organization estimates that 300 million jobs could be lost, a fact that is 15 times higher than the job losses in the 2008 financial crisis. All this stuff sounds like judgment to me. To date, the coronavirus has infected over 9 million people and killed more than 472,000 globally. 472,000 globally. Let's just assume that the number's accurate, even though we know it's not, at least not here in the States. We're going ballistic about that. We're unemploying ourselves. We're destroying economies around the world. We're pushing twice as many people, like 130, 140 more million people, into extreme poverty and food security, like famine. Over 472,000 deaths worldwide, while most people on the planet are completely unaware of the fact that so far in 2020 through today, about an hour ago, worldwide, we have aborted over 21 million. No, I didn't get that wrong. That wasn't a Joe Biden gaffe when he said 120 million people have died from COVID. That wasn't a gaffe. That was a real number. It's just over 21 million abortions worldwide year to date. We're turning everything upside down and inside out for the coronavirus death count of 472,000, destroying economies, 300 million job losses. That's what they're estimating. You've got 70 to 100 million people could be pushed into extreme poverty. The United Nations World Food Program has further warned that 260 million people could face acute food insecurity by year's end, doubling the number of risks before the crisis. Over 472,000, which are tragic, but not as tragic as 21 million babies sacrificed to 98% of the time personal desire. You be the judge. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. Also, the show is podcast, so the podcast every day of the show comes out within 24 hours, so you can go whatever podcast platform you use, iTunes, Apple, Google, Spotify, whatever. We're in all of those. The new podcast is as well, which you know the title. It's a little edgy. Who is this SOB? That's not me starting to talk like a sailor or what have you. That's just the assumed reaction of these millennials and Gen Z who are gobbling up the top 20, top 30 podcasts that are out there. Millions and millions and millions and millions of downloads and listens, okay? They're not coming to church. The numbers all bear this out. They don't come to church. They're not listening to Christian media. They're not listening to this show. They're not on my Facebook page. They're not on your Facebook page. You probably know some of them. They're just not interested. So how are we going to get their attention? By steering our car into their traffic, oncoming traffic. So I go listen to some of these. I'm only looking at the top 20 podcasts at any given time. I look for interesting, effective areas of engagement where I can bring a winsome, biblical Christian worldview into the conversation. And so that's what I do. In the podcast, Who Is This SOB? I play clips from these podcasts, and then I offer a conservative biblical response as winsome as I can with the hopes that we're going to get their attention as we keep doing it. And we maybe could even share the gospel with them, give them something else to think of, give them another perspective. But we have to go to them. They're not coming to us. Well, that's the whole purpose of that podcast. That's also available on wherever podcasts are available. You can just go to whoisssob.com or you can find it on Facebook. But the new episode comes out Wednesday. That's going to be number 6. Three different huge podcasts that I deal with. Ben Shapiro on the racial issue, Joe Rogan and his guest on the kind of the riots and the protests, and then of all places, Stuff You Should Know, which is a huge podcast, interestingly enough. But they did one on ultrasound, and in doing a podcast, Stuff You Should Know on ultrasound, they took a rather obvious pro-life position that I'm sure a lot of people that listen to that podcast would never see it that way. But it was really obvious to me, so I engaged all three of those. So that's coming out on Wednesday. You can check that out. But right now, as it is every Monday, we're going to talk to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. As always, landmarkgold.com. Plenty of updates we have to do as the financial world is as strange and odd these days as most of the rest of the world. But David, good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Staying safe in this strange environment.
Yes.
Sharing the financials and sharing the gospel.
Amen. That's such a good way of putting it. And we always start on these Money Monday updates, which I so appreciate you doing this, David, with the passage of Scripture. In this case, this is so important for us, especially right now in the body of Christ when you look at Romans 12:10, because I haven't seen this much division inside the body since Donald Trump ran in 2016, now with masks and all that stuff. This is such an important passage. So let's start there. Thanks for bringing this one up.
I felt led to talk about this. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I brought this up specifically because of mass. You know, there's this dichotomy going on there in the body of Christ I'm seeing. I'm going to talk about it for a second, if I may.
Sure.
That, you know, if you're wearing a mask, you don't have this high level of trust towards the Lord, okay, and that, you know, he's going to protect you. That's like me saying when I had my heart issues, I shouldn't go to the doctor. I should just trust the Lord. If that was the case, I wouldn't be here. So God uses modern medicine, but he also uses practicality. And the flip side of that, if you're not wearing a mask, you're not being a good servant of the environment and your body and others' bodies around you. So I think the key here, though, is let's honor one another. Some people don't believe in wearing masks. That's their prerogatory. Let's not put them down and belittle them, while others who do wear masks should not be put down for wearing a mask. It doesn't mean you don't support President Trump, or it has nothing to do with any of that. It's what you believe, what you should do as you follow the Lord. A good thing I've always learned, though, people really don't care how much you know or what you believe or, you know, about wearing masks or not until you show compassion towards them and you can't bring them into your world, whatever your world is, and I'm talking about the gospel now, until you can get into their world and show them how much you care about them and their world.
Yeah, it's so important. And again, what Jesus himself said, they'll know your mind, meaning his disciples, his children, by the way you love one another. And it's amazing what we'll allow to come between us in the body of Christ. And people are watching whether we know it or not. And it's amazing. And this one, I've struggled with it myself, David, just over the weekend, because now we have this mask mandate in North Carolina, and I'm like kicking and screaming. And I realized either Saturday or Sunday when I was wearing one of these dang masks in the grocery store, I'm like, I have such a spirit of independence and rebellion in me still. And I'm like, you know what? That's not... That the fact that I can make a case for my lack of willingness to submit, to give the benefit of the doubt, and I can make a good case how it's all just garbage. I can make a medical case about the mask, all that stuff. But there is a spirit in me that I clench my fists and I say, I'm not going to do what you tell me. And that's a spirit of rebellion. That's the old man that's supposed to be dead. And it's just an important reminder. And then we turn around and divide and treat each other horribly over these things. It's just really sad, but a great reminder for all of us. I really appreciate you bringing that up, David.
Well, you know, unity goes a long ways, and there's power in unity, and that's what we need more than ever now.
Amen. Exactly right. So let's look at the markets year to date. Never a dull moment there as well. So help us understand what's going on.
The Dow is down year to date 10.3%. Or down 0.5% from last week, but keep in mind, 40% of the rally today in the Dow was caused by Home Depot, Apple, but mostly Boeing, Since it closed up 14.36%, phenomenal movement in Boeing because of the Federal Aviation Commission said that they're going to do test flights on the 737 MAX jet, which were supposed to start today, and they did. Other indexes, S&P down 5.8% year-to-date, almost 1.3% lower than last week, so the Dow and the S&P are lower. NASDAQ is up year-to-date 9.1%, but down 1% from last week, and gold is the winner at 16.8%, up 1% from last week. So that's the numbers. Market is not going to be open on Friday because of the holiday, and light volume is expected on Thursday. We're having some jobless claims came out, and there we had 12 consecutive weeks where we've had unemployment or initial jobless claims have fallen, but we still have 20 million Americans unemployed. The big news that's going to be is coming out tomorrow when Jerome Powell, Fed chairman, is going to speak before the House Financial Services Committee, and his remarks were just released like 10 minutes ago, and here's the big ones. He will say, big questions remain over the outlook of the economy, particularly in light of ongoing efforts to contain the coronavirus pandemic. Output and unemployment remain far below their pre-pandemic levels, and the path forward for the economy is extraordinary and certain, and a full recovery is unlikely until people are confident that it is safe to reengage in broad activities that they're used to doing. So, a lot of uncertainty still.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, you go back to March 23rd, which is kind of the bottom of what's happened this year. And then just last Thursday and Friday, boom, down, and then today ended up 580 points. So you've got kind of this choppy back and forth, up and down. Is there any way to kind of tell where the market's heading at this point?
Well, there's this dichotomy still that's going on of the Fed injection of capital, you know, and this bounce that's happened since March 23rd, the bottom, it's slowing down definitely, and now there's a little bit headwinds with the uncertainty. But it's acting, according to Bank of America's Michael Harnett, a strategist, saying it's just acting like a typical bear market rally. Be careful, he's saying. There's three of them that are, this is falling in the footsteps of, and there's going to be, could be some more pain with lower levels, which is very normal in a bear market rally. So just be careful. It's still overvalued at 22.18 P&A ratio, and it should be around 17.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Fed. So how long are they going to kind of continue on their quest to buy assets and continue to prop up everything?
As long as they need to. But Jerome Powell did say, and I'm going to call it the punch bowl, he said he'd pull away the punch bowl when things got back to normal. That wasn't his exact words, but that's what he means.
Yeah.
But I will say this. The Fed is doing extraordinary things they've never been done before. You know, this whole bond market thing that they've been buying individual corporate bonds. At first, they were only going to buy ETFs, eligible ones. Then they moved to buying individual corporate bonds. And then they are making a bond index, an eligible broad market index bond, which is a third category that they announced on June 15th. And yesterday we got the results from it. It's insane. The number one asset they are buying, Toyota, number two, Volkswagen, and number three, Daimler. Tell me how those three bonds have anything to do with Americans being in a better place, because those are foreign companies. They don't even trade or reside in America. So I'm perplexed.
Yes, well, that seems to be the new normal, is perplexed, although it's been happening for a while, unfortunately. And, you know, you mentioned this, and we talk about this every week, and we're right at the end of the show, but diversification, such a big deal. If you're all in stocks, that's not a great place to be. You never want to be all in one place. Stocks, precious metals, real estate, even cash, which for a lot of people is a dirty word. But how can people kind of get more information to understand that, David?
They can call us the old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882, or go to our website at landmarkgold.com.
Landmark Gold, L-A-N-D, landmarkgold.com. David, as always, thanks so much for calling in, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thank you. God bless you, Steve.
God bless you, too. We'll talk again real soon. Yeah. And like TJ, man, the market can be so fickle and so emotional. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.